the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ailish Borfar, J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy. And we're joined by a guy who has probably pulled half his hair out by now, The Insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Steve Dangle. How are we this morning, Steve?
Hey, you know what? I don't care if it's minus a million. It's sunny outside. It's good stuff, Ailish Borfar. It's good stuff.
Wow, you're so positive for someone that's that's seen it all. Another blown
Friday
lead.
Vibes.
You know, my therapist is really good. They're really good. They got the tallest house in Oshawa. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's great. Hey, man, good morning. Thanks for jumping on.
So good morning.
Yeah, you know, you're in a positive mood, and I actually like this today because I'm kind of feeling this is a weird one. I'm not positive about things, but I am also, this is kind of one where I'm looking at all of it and laughing. And today, the theme of the day is just going to be expectation and pressure. And I'm looking at this Leafs team right now with just a little bit of perspective of they have won 6 of their last 10 games. They got points in 7 of them. And yes, they've blown leads, but if they win their next 4 games, they're first in a division that includes a Panthers team that's won 8 of their last 10, a Bruins team that's won 8 of their last 10, and a Lightning team that's won 4 straight. Like, that's how good the Leafs have been this year. And ultimately, yes, are blown leads a bad thing? Are we nitpicking at the blue line? Of course. Has the goaltending been up to snuff? Absolutely not as of late. But that it is a very small sample, and yet here we all are with these massive, massive takeaways about what the Leafs can be. And it brings me to the main thing, which is simply there's just so much pressure on this team. And there's not just pressure on the team from the market and the fans and the media, right? They're responding in kind. Like Sheldon Keefe used that kind of language because he knows the type of pressure on this group. And I wonder if anything, like, we're not learning about this team in the regular season, right? It's all about the playoffs. But kind of the way I'm kicking it over to you is, do you think that they're going to be able to handle this pressure? Because they're not even halfway through the season. It's been mostly great. And you still see these little bit of fault lines crop up every once in a while where you see the trauma that's not even just on us, but also on that group. Did we lose Steve?
He hung up after. Steve is so upset he hung up.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hi. I don't know what happened there. That's odd. yeah. No, sorry. I hung up and I thought better of it, and I'll call back. And I'll give you the truth. No. Okay. So I think the good thing about this year is there's a lot more runway, right? Like last year's team, I don't know how much they dealt with adversity, well, at least compared to other teams. Let's get this out of the way because people tweet this at me every time. All 32 teams are going through adversity right now. It sucks. It, like, compared, just life in general, compared to 750 days ago or whatever it was, sucks, okay? You know, people have pointed out, well, there's been COVID within the team, and what about their conditioning? And I have empathy towards that. But 73% of the league, I think, is the number, has had it. And I don't know what to blame their losses on until the coach says they're soft and purposeless. And then I'm like, well, if he's having a go, I might as well. Like we can just take it at face value. We can just take it at face value. What happened last year is the Leafs and the fan base had their perspective on the results ruined, right? So they've won 6 of their last 10. Great. How are they winning them? That's what I care about. Because if it's in preparation for the playoffs, which is still over, what is it, like 50 games away? Oh, my God, yep. That's so many games away. It's we're just so broken in our relationship with the regular season is damaged, which is crazy because we have an 82-game one this year. And I think they're going to have an opportunity to repair that relationship in a very, very busy February. And if they face some challenges along the way, like blowing all these leads and then maybe getting their heads kicked in by the Panthers and Lightning and Bruins, who knows? It might make them a better team in the long run.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know, and I actually think that that is a fair evaluation, the how are you winning games, because mm-hmm. we are past the point of just winning with the Leafs. I did this video yesterday for my on my Instagram, right? These that take it or leave it series that I'm doing, and I said the thing that I really believe, that there's more pressure on the Leafs than not only any team in hockey, but like go around professional sports right now. Do you think that there is a team in pro sports that has a like more pressure than them right now? Like really, it's them and all of professional sports, the way that they're covered, the way that they're discussed, the way that they're the level of accountability of this group right now, like the fallout of what this could be, it's them. It's absolutely them, right?
Oh, who has more pressure than the Leafs? At least half the NBA. Who has more pressure than the Leafs? The entire NFL. Who has more pressure than the Leafs? At least half of the MLB. I'm so sick of this. Like, it's the hardest thing in the world. Like, and the Toronto media is so mean. Go look at what the hell is happening in Edmonton. Dude called one of the star players of the league pissy and got to ask a follow-up question. It's easy to play here. Holy smokes. You will be royalty if you ever win. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of that. Woe is you. The paychecks still come. The paychecks still come. What about it being hard to play in Toronto made it just open season in front of the net in St. Louis? Are we that well-traveled of a fan base that all of us made it down there in the middle of a pandemic? We made it all the way down to Missouri. Holy smokes. Just win. Holy smokes. If there's someone in front of the net, just move them. Holy smokes! Show up when it matters! Sorry, I was level-headed until you brought that up. I'm so sick of that. I'm so, so sick of that. No. No.
Okay, so let's try to... No, don't hang up again. Let's try to take a look at, you know, you've been a Leafs fan for a very, very long time. So let's try to qualify your confidence ranking in this year's team. Take into account what we just talked about, the blown leads, but the roster makeup and what they can do this year. What's your confidence level that they can actually be the team that changes this narrative?
So this might shock you, but I actually think this is the best team they've iced of the Matthews era. I think they're even better than last year's team, who just pretty much walked all over the Canadian division until a certain date. But they're the best they've been. They're not just scoring goals, but they're scoring goals in a playoff style, which we know is very important to Sheldon Keefe. They're a harder team in front of the other team's net than they've been in years past, so that's a good thing. Defensively, I think a lot of their problems can be explained by injuries, because Justin Hall got hurt in training camp, which is sort of an underrated storyline. Jake Muzzin, I don't think, has played a healthy game this season, but they've still held the fort relatively well. And Jack Campbell, I think, is outstripping all of our expectations, right? So the one little thing about this team is I just look at how they stack up on paper against Florida. And I look how they stack up on paper against Tampa. And here's the only woe is me thing with the Leafs. They could finish third in the league this year and still be third in their own division. I look at how they stack up against them, and I look at Liljegren and how he's been at his best. We're going to ignore the past week. I'm looking at him at his best, and I'm thinking about Justin Hall at his best. And no matter who I put in to that second pair right D role, they don't come close to being able to handle a 4-7 game series against the Panthers or the Lightning. So if I had one thing on my wish list, it would be something with that in mind again for what I think is the 7th consecutive year.
Yeah, it's really tough because one, like over half the league makes the playoffs. And so those guys don't want to give up those defensemen. And then the teams at the bottom, it's like, how much are you trying to, you know, what do you really want to pull from the Arizona Coyotes, right? Like, who are those teams? And then also, like, it's a salary cap era where everybody wants a tough blue liner. And so you end up wanting so desperately for this thing that is in short supply that you end up having to drastically overpay for. And I'm good with the Leafs doing that because I think that they're all in. I think that they should be pushing in chips into the middle and not really concerning themselves with the long term because they do have Austin Matthews and they do have a team that I agree with you is the best iteration of the Matthews era. I'm really not trying to be pessimistic. I think this is just being more realistic. It's really hard for me to envision that guy that shows up here where I'm looking at the blue line and all of a sudden feeling good about the unit as a whole.
Yeah, it's difficult because I get asked, well, who's the name? And then I start to get picky, you know. Hey, John Klingberg's available. Yeah, but I don't know if he's the right fit. And what about, like, I don't know, someone like Damon Severson out of New Jersey? Yeah, I don't know. That's when I start to get picky. Literally, all I think they need is an improvement. I don't think they need a super-duper star. And, like, look what they did on the top pair. I don't think TJ Brody's a star. I don't think he's a superstar. But he's been a steady defensive partner for the best defenseman on this team, and Morgan Rielly. And lo and behold, even though they're not the best decor in the league, my God, they've far improved, and the offense can worry more about offense. And look at that. They're still scoring a bunch of goals. They can still keep their identity. I just think they need to improve in that one area. And if it happens sooner rather than later, I think that'd be better for everybody involved. Just because they have so many games coming up in February. They're an injury or two away right now from digging real deep into the Marlies.
So speaking of their next 2 weeks, it's quite a lot of games, a couple back-to-backs, a lot of travel. Starting this Saturday, after they've had a couple days off, do you put Jack Campbell in net, or do you start with the Mrazek experience of getting him a couple more games, because down the stretch he's going to be someone you're going to need to have in the net at least two or three times?
Oh, at least. I think it's funny. When the Leafs signed Mrazek, part of the thing I liked about the signing was, oh, they'll take some of the workload off Jack Campbell and it'll probably keep his number down. and then Mrazek gets hurt two or three times, and Campbell's a Vezina candidate, and we're talking about him making as much or more than Markstrom. But for the next little month, maybe 5 weeks, I think they need to get back to what the plan probably was for at least the first half of the season, which is them splitting games. Like, I don't even think Jack should be, like, I mean, he's obviously the starter, but from a workload standpoint, not only should Mrazek be playing, you know, the second half of back-to-backs, but he should be getting random games here and there, and dare I say, two out of three games at some points. Let it be Mrazek and Wohl, and have Campbell in the press box if you can afford it against the cap. I'm serious. Like, for certain games, right? Just to maximize the rest, because again, it's all about the playoffs.
So, just to this Saturday when they're playing a lowly Islanders, they had a couple days off. Who are you putting in net this Saturday? Tomorrow.
Oh, boy. You know what? I would actually like to see... No. I was going to get greedy and say Jack Campbell. No, it needs to be... I think it needs to be Mrazek. It needs to be Mrazek. You know, if you're Sheldon Keefe, you're probably thinking about the mentality of this team and, oh, it'd be nice to get them... you know, a pretty confident win, a clear-cut win, get them feeling good about themselves. Okay, how about you do that with Mrazek in net? Because Campbell's too important to this team. Mrazek, he's a good goalie, makes $3.8 million. Use him.
Okay, so I wanted you to have a breath because you got very frustrated by my question. And you
no,
said you were sick of
it's not
it.
Your question. Yep. I like you, JD.
Nope.
It's out there.
It's fine.
Nope.
You got a little mad.
Nope.
You got a little heated. It's all right.
Yep.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am too. And I understand it. You go just win. But I think that maybe we're conflating or confusing the old, like, it's hard to play in Toronto thing with what I'm trying to define as pressure within this group right now. Is I agree with you. Like, I don't think that Toronto is a more difficult place to play. I don't think that the media market here is as bad as people make it out to be, right? Like, you mentioned it. Edmonton has... Like, I always say, look at European soccer, the way that these guys get handled and the way that they get treated in the press. And like, those guys, last I checked, still find ways to score goals in Europe, you know? Like, they still win Champions Leagues and they still win league titles, and, like, that ends up happening. So do I believe the media angle is always overblown? Yes. Do I believe that the market pressure is overblown? Yes. What I mean more with pressure within this group is, like, man, this is a tortured franchise. And we have waited so long to have a core that is quite like this. And the core that has been so fun to watch in these regular seasons and is so obviously talented, right? Like, it's just, they suffered that same trauma that we all went through as fans, I really believe, as a group last year. Like, I think that they feel that same thing of, like, when Sheldon Keefe boils over the way that he did in that media conference, he's thinking about the same thing you outlined, right? Which is, I don't care if we win, I care about how we win. That those results to him, the regular season points, like, he doesn't care. And that's what I keep wondering about, like, using a bullet like that in the middle of the season or saying something like that where you go, you know, soft and purposeless. You use that kind of language with your group is because that anxiety is underneath the surface. And when you combine all these different factors, I'm sorry, I do think that, yes, is there more of an audience in the NFL for teams? Of course. Are there NBA teams like the Lakers right now that have a lot of pressure? Sure. But LeBron got them a title, right? Like, they've won one. So I don't really think that there's an NBA team right now that has more pressure than the Leafs. Like, when I look at a situation that's, like, as combustible, that has all of the elements of history, the actual market pressure, but the team internally, and just the way that I worry about the group in terms of the way that they deal with this, and knowing that, like you mentioned, there's still a full long 82-game season here to go where you have to kind of manage that pressure. You have to manage those demons over the course of 50-plus more games. I am very curious to see how that gets played out. Like, I really do think that there is a pressure on that group that is different, and it's mostly internal, that they understand kind of the parameters of this thing. Like, their own general manager, Kyle Dubas, called it what? Like, maybe CJ actually called it the last dance, but then he heard it and kind of spun with it. But either way, like, he called it the all-in season. He called it the boomer bust season. Like, it does feel like there is just a different weight to this.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it by saying it's internal. And this is the issue, right? Like, nobody they go out and get in a trade is going to fix that. They got all the feel-good guys and the veterans that, you know, make it great to show up to the rink, and here's Joe Thornton, and isn't he wacky with his crazy beard? You know, they tried all that. I think it was pretty wacky, and all his antics. Look at him. Oh, he's just so funny. He's a dad, and he's in his 40s, but look how skinny his jeans are. Isn't that so fun? Yeah. Like, I think there's a lot of mythology with teams that finally get over the hump. And I think about the 2018 Capitals when they finally did it. And I think a lot of lies get told where we go, sorry, my wife just brewed a coffee with no cup in the machine and it's distracting me.
Been there, Mrs. Dangle.
Oh my God.
I couldn't play that one off. Oh my God. Anyway, so where was I? There's a lot of mythology as I wipe up the kitchen with a team like the 2018 Capitals where we tell ourselves, oh, something changed and they started playing hockey the right way. Did they? Were the Capitals always so bad? No, I don't think they played differently. I think it was all between the ears. And one year they figured out, okay, this is our time. We're going to beat the Penguins. And then they still had two more rounds of playoff hockey after that. But they were able to ride them slaying their demons, their dragons, through the next two rounds. So the Leafs, you know, after all my ranting and raving, I do think if they ever actually get over the hump and they win a series, if they're able to, not even a game series, an elimination game, win a game 5, 6, or 7 last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they ever get over that, who knows? Maybe it goes to their legs like adrenaline and they run through the league like a buzzsaw. I don't know. I don't know how you fix what's between the ears. If I did, I would have done it to myself a long time ago.
No, you would need your therapist.
That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Steve, that's right, great.
Yeah, you go mop up. You go clean up. Thanks for joining us this morning. Say hi to little Leo, okay?
I absolutely will. This is the sort of thing that happens with a toddler, apparently.
See you, buddy.
Right. Talk to you soon. That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Oh, I'm laughing. I've done that before. You know, you press the button and you walk away, and it's like, that doesn't sound right. Coffee everywhere.
Yeah, we need to, I'm sure in their showroom, Don Valley North Lexus has some very nice Don Valley North Lexus coffee mugs while you're waiting or filling out paperwork or whatever. We need to get
one of those
Steve Dangle, to Mrs. Dangle. Sick wife brag, by the way, Steve. Just you know, sliding that in there. I have a wife. You guys are in sports media and don't.
Wife, a kid, a therapist, and a house. Like, wow.
Life. You know,
must be nice. Must be nice.
What do I got on that? I got the therapist part. That's it.
Listen, you can get all those things if you profit off the Waken Rake. All right? Cool Bet Chris. Hey, how do you get those things? You gamble. That's how you do it. That's how you get those things. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish 4-4, Sports 5-9 of the Fan. Fan Morning Show, Sports 5-9 of the Fan. I'm JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish 4-4, making you Monday. It's the Wake and Rake. Everybody makes us money on this show, except for old Blake, old Trapdoor Blake, as we call
Trapdoor
him on the show.
Lost Blake.
Last night. Old Trapdoor. He just like, when are you going to get it right, kid? When are you going to get a win?
Yeah, holy.
You know?
What's your record? 0-20.
Stop sewering the show. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When's the last time you got a win?
I don't know, man. You'd have to go back a long, long way. I'm losing on buzzer beaters, all sorts of stuff. You know what? I had Purdue last night.
I can't believe you're not going to finish this. Blake won 10 in a row, everybody. Blake won 10 in a row. He was never our trapdoor.
That was the bit. I figured people knew.
Well, some people are listening for the first time.
I'd gotten pretty anxious about, I was on a good streak there, and my record on the Wake and Rake picks is 21-3 at this point since we started doing it.
Oh, my God.
So, but, with that comes pressure, whereas, like yesterday, Ailish, when you... I know it was you claim it was an accidental mush, but it very much felt like JD said. I mean, he used the goalie with the shutout example. I felt more like the no hitter example of wow, no one's got a hit against you, eh, bud?
Yes, the Purdue Boilermakers, they heard the show and they decided to throw the game because of me mushing you.
No,
those
it's a
Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, look, Purdue... that loss hurts them. They fell from 4th to 7th in the Ken Palms. They're probably going to fall out of the top 5 in the next ranking. And it was a weird, not a weird game, but a fun, sweaty game to watch as someone who had a bet on it, because not only was it very, very close, but Purdue got down big early, made this big comeback. And then Jaden Ivey, who's a monster NBA prospect, has a buzzer beater go rattle in and out.
One other one that you were really confident against, New Mexico State got absolutely whooped by San Houston State Bearcats.
Injury status has changed in that one,
but that wasn't
my Wake and Rake. Do you really want to do the thing where we go into
who got what wrong and
the picks that didn't make the Wake and Rake?
Nope. Feeling good.
I only put one best bet forward. Let's talk to someone else who grew into Wake and Rake recently. Last week, he came on and gave us a National Lacrosse League over-under for the weekend Wake and Rake that did not even come remotely close. Let's see if we could do a little better this week. It's Cool Bet Chris, National Brand Manager for Cool Bet, and JD's most begrudging friend. Chris, how are you this morning, man?
I had put that in the rear view. I had moved on. I had had a decent week, but yes, but your listeners are brilliant because most of them just left the lacrosse play off of there. I saw the tickets. I was like, where's the lacrosse play? Like Saturday morning, everyone's like, way to go, Wake and Rake. I was like, hey. But turns out they were brilliant. Yeah, these teams have played well. I don't need to go down that path. It just didn't happen. But my theory that the empty arena would slow down the offense was not a good one.
No. It was not. It was a bad one. But you're right. Most people recognize, so we've been doing this bit on the show of, you know, who's going to be the trap door in our Wake and Rake parlay, right? Who's going to be the one person? Because our show has over, like, no, we're not. Are we back to being 2 of 3?
No, exactly? We're a little below it. Little
okay,
below.
But
we're
so what are we, 65%?
Yeah, 65.2.
Okay, amazing.
Still really good. Yeah,
of course, really good. So the show is 65%, right, in its hits, but we played this game of who's the trap door. And it was nice to have someone to bandy around where it wasn't our show, you know, it was you. You got to be our trap door. So we appreciated that. Old trap door, cool back Chris here. But yes, okay, let's not do that. Ultimately, our football logic last week was sound, except for I will remind that Ailish and I on the side of the Niners, you two back the Cowboys, you know, we
yeah, baby.
Our short dogs, baby. Here's the way we're gonna start today's show. How are we back in short dogs this week? Because Blake brought it up. What's the stat, Blake? That this is the closest wild card that this is the closest divisional matchup in terms of odds ever?
Yes. So these four games have a combined spread of 13.5 right now. It ties 1971. For the smallest ever for a playoff week, and it's the lowest in the last 15 years by almost 7 points.
Okay, so let's go around the horn. Let's pick everybody's favorite dog. Chris, let's start with you.
That is a wild stat, and looking at the matchups, it makes total sense. So I'm going to say my short dog. Well, I guess they're all short dogs, right?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
They all are.
The longest of the short dogs in the 49ers. I've been on the Packers all year. And if I'm a fan of any team, it's the Packers. So watch them a little closely. I think Deebo Samuel short runs, George Kittle short passes, yards after the catch, is just going to chew up the Green Bay defense. I think the total of 47 is probably the best play, but I think San Francisco can win this game outright and definitely cover the spread.
So Chris, let me throw another one at you here. So when I went back into that data, and that's 470 playoff games going back to 1967. We don't have spread data for every one of those games, but the ones we do. When a short road dog, so 2 points to 5.5 points, which is what we're dealing with this weekend, they covered exactly 50% of the time in the playoffs, but 4 out of 5 times when they covered, they won outright. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at the Niners plus 5.5, do you need the points there, or are you tempted to go plus 200 money line?
Well, I mean, if you're following me on Twitter, you would see that I totally flipped on the Niners last week, and I ended up betting them spread and money line before the game started. So I actually agree with you. I think San Fran can win this game outright. I think it's a huge task, and I think they're maybe getting a little more hype than they deserve, but they've been pretty good the last couple of weeks. So, you know, if Jimmy can stay on his feet here, they get a chance.
So I actually, so to me, this one is a lean. This is not a bet for me. This is a lean. This is something where I'm probably going to, if I do, you know, cowards, I got to consider taking the Niners points and teasing those Niners points up. Because I agree with you guys. Like, that's a physical team with two guys in their rushing attack that are deadly right now. I'm going to be smashing the Deebo Samuel over prop. That's going to be just everywhere for me. That's going to be big money for me. But ultimately, what it comes down to is I have Jimmy Garoppolo versus Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is at home and he's rested. And all season long, Chris, you said it, the Packers made us money. The Packers won us games. And so I do think that the Packers find a way to win this game. So this is actually the weird one, Blake, where I actually kind of like the dog in a spread scenario, but not in the money line. Like the other ones, I have two money line picks that I'm taking this week that are dogs. And then I have two favorites that I like in money lines as favorites. And the Packers are still one for me. Are you guys Packers? Like, I'll kick to you, Ailish. Like, where are you playing this game? And if you're not, if this is a lean for you as well, I hate putting it like this, but are the Bills just your money line underdog pick? Because I feel like you're going to bet them. But how much of that is just you being a homer?
No, I think I tried to step outside of the homer mentality and to look at this one, and I think the value's on the Bills money line because they can certainly win this one. And fan side alone, yes, I'm betting the Bills. But like if I try to think logically, road road short dogs, I think the Bills is definitely the one that I would pick. But yeah, you know, you kind of convinced me on the Niners there. Cool bet, Chris. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling that I might be in on them too. But yeah, Bills for sure for me, if I'm thinking of who I would bet as a road dog, a short road dog. I think I'm going to go money line though, just because I get a little nervous with the spread. I just want them to win, 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 win.
Mm-hmm. These lines are a little tight this week. And what I mean by tight is there's not a ton of edge analytically, mm-hmm. right? Like you dive into some of the projections, even something like DVOA, which can sometimes point to an overrated or underrated team as kind of a rough guide. I would say, again, we covered the one. By DVOA, the Niners were a better team than the Packers outright. So mm-hmm. that's an interesting one. DVOA also has the Bills as a better team than the Chiefs. I'm less of a believer in that one, not out of doubt in the Bills, but what we've talked about with mm-hmm. the Chiefs, where maybe they were, sitting underneath a little bit. So, JD, what's your favorite?
Oh, you're going to go to me first? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to go to you. I thought you were asking for The Rock, and I'm
I wanted your pick. I was like, give me your short dog pick. I'll go with mine. I'm extremely confident in my short dog pick. Like, it's my favorite bet of the week.
All right, hit us then. That's a big tease. I'm not going to pivot off of that.
I like the Rams. I like the Rams money line. I think they're going to win this football game. And on paper, this is hilarious because I am the ultimate Tom Brady backer and the ultimate Matt Stafford non-believer. So it's like I am going against every principal fiber of quarterback playoff play in my life, right? Where one guy just got his first win, the other one is the greatest of all time, right? Where he could run out of fingers for all of his rings. But this is just an atrophy play. This is just you lost too many pieces. The Buccaneers don't have Chris Godwin. Antonio Brown is he's a podcast host now. He's a rapper now, you know? Like, he's not a wide receiver for the Buccaneers. They're going – Ryan Jensen, Pro Bowler, offensive lineman. Tristan Wirfs, Pro Bowler, offensive lineman. They're both viewed as long shots to play right now. And even if they do play, they weren't healthy enough if the team had to go through a walkthrough today. Like, those guys are banged up. Do you know who plays for the LA Rams? Like, Aaron Donald is on that team. Front pressure, interior pressure. That has always been the, oh, wow, what's Brady's Achilles heel? Interior pressure. Yeah, no duh. You know what every quarterback's Achilles heel is? Interior pressure. I've seen Russell Wilson, my guy, my quarterback, who has brilliant escapability, get destroyed by Aaron Donald. Destroyed by Aaron Donald, a 44-year-old quarterback that had less time in the pocket. Again, I've said this stat over and over again because I think it's the most important stat going into the weekend. Tom Brady had less time in the pocket last week than any other quarterback that played in the playoffs. Any other QB. I don't think that that's sustainable against this Rams front seven. And I'm sort of looking at this saying, okay, so what's the counter going to be? You're going to try to get the ball out quick? You're going to try to what? Make Gronk more a part of this game plan? You're going to make it... Mike Evans is going to be tracked by Jalen Ramsey in a lot of this game. Jalen Ramsey is also on the field. He is going to be the king of, oh, you got the ball out too quick? Oh, you were forced to make a decision a split second too early? You know who punishes you for that? Jalen Ramsey. So if the Buccaneers fall behind in this game, which I think is very probable, without Leonard Fournette or a banged-up version, with two banged-up offensive linemen, with basically only one of their starting three star receivers, I'm not including Gronkowski here, I know he is one of them, I think he'll have a big game, but just a limited amount of weapons, a limited offensive line, a limited rushing attack, no mobility, I think this is a really tough proposition for Brady. And if he wins it, great. I'll bend the knee and say I'm an idiot for betting against the GOAT and going with Matt Stafford. But I just look at the edges here and where they are, and I think they're ultimately very favorable for the Rams. So I am smashing the Rams' money line in this game. I'm putting it on everything. The Rams have betrayed me a few times this year, so I won't be shocked if I end up getting burned on them yet again. But I love the Rams. I'm Rams, Rams, Rams all the way here.
You laid out a really good case for why Tampa Bay's offense could struggle, and we talked to Ben Solak of The Ringer earlier in the week mm-hmm. about why what the Buccaneers' defense does well is maybe not the right strategy for the Rams as well, where
exactly.
they like the blitz, and Stafford's good against the blitz, and Stafford struggles when you only send four, and he's got to kind of throw into narrower pockets. So, you know, the Bucs could obviously veer off of that strategy, but they blitzed more than anyone last week, and that's their comfort zone, so... I should have gone first just to tee it up even better for you, JD, but the Rams are mine as well. And you know that this is there's something there for me because not that I go by this by dogma, but in terms of projection and DVOA, this is the worst dog on the board, and I still feel like it's a good play. So what do we got? So we between the four of us, we picked everyone but the poor Bengals.
And then
Jamar Chase is going to have 400 yards, and we're going to be here Monday and be like, well, you can't bet against Jamar Chase.
You know what, though? I kind of like their overs in terms of props. Like, I think that if there's a path to victory for the Bengals, it's to continue to throw the ball, and it's continue to have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase end up being this elite connection. And it's one of those things where I'm less bullish on the Burrow props because his yard total is very, very high. And I could see a lot of ball control for the Titans where they burn some clock, they run it, they run it, they run it. But ultimately, Chase is just somebody that feels like situationally independent, game script independent, that he and Burrow just have this incredible connection. And yeah, 76.5 total receiving yards. That to me is like, I like the touchdown prop, but I, you know me, Blake, I never really love touchdown props that are under 200, under 300. Like, I throw them into parlays more than anything. The 5.5 receptions, I think is good, but 76.5 yards for who I think right now is the most explosive receiver in the game with arguably the best 1B, 1A connection with his quarterback other than Cooper Kupp going into this weekend. I like that for Chase. So, like, that's the way I'm going to bet the Bengals game. Chris, do you have a way that you're betting that game? Like, are you feeling any confidence in that one? Because that's one where I actually like the favorite too. I like the Titans in this game just because I think they're the better coach team, the more experienced team, the more rested team. But do you have a feel for this one?
Oh, I'll tell you, my heart wants to bet the Bengals here. It really, really, really does. But I know they're missing some key guys on defense. You know, Derrick Henry could come in and run all over them. And yeah, the Titans have had an extra week. I think the line here also indicates that the book wants you to bet on the Bengals. So that also leads me toward the Titans with the hook there as well.
Yeah. How much does coaching come into play for you in this one, Blake? Because, like, to me, this is the one where there's the biggest divide in the two coaches and who they are. Like, I've never been a Zach Taylor believer, and I love Mike Vrabel. And, you know, I had a listener send me a DM on Instagram, and it's one that – it's a stat that I had forgotten, but it's a stat that I'm glad that they raised, which is he's 8-0, Vrabel, with an extra week's rest. 8-0. Like, that's a pretty – heavy statistic when you're talking about a team that just is coming off of a bye and also getting their star identity player back and is healthy.
And what did Charles say to us earlier when Charles Davis was on, right? It's yeah, this team has dealt with a ton of adversity with an NFL record 91 different players playing this year. Derrick Henry's, you know, coming back after this long absence, but they had most of their guys in the season finale and then an extra week to prep. This is probably the healthiest the Titans will have been since week one. So I like the Titans there for sure. I'm very curious to see, they're not up yet, but once the Derrick Henry props go up, very curious where those land. If there's skepticism in him getting a full workload or bouncing,
I won't be
back
touching
to,
that.
I know, but I'm. It's a curiosity for me where it ends up. I'm very, very interested to see that.
Chris, do you know that? Do you know where it's going to kind of come in around? Do you have any inclination as to what it's going to look like for Henry's rushing yards?
Well, I mean, I think they said they're going to try and get him the ball 20, 25 times. So, you know, whatever his average is on per carry, I guess, would be what the line is set up.
That might be an under for me then. I might fade that one a bit and say, like, hey, this is 9 weeks where the guy's been off, and there still might be a bit of a distraction element. I'm willing to throw that as a Ailish four-far, just $5 in some kind of a big parlay where
just
I take
$5,
the,
baby.
Yeah, where I just end up kind of fading Derrick Henry in this one. That could bite me in the ass big time, I know, because, like, I don't really trust the Bengals' defense in this game. I think that they're better. I think that they're solid, but I don't think that up against a prime Derrick Henry they would do well. But, yeah, I just – that's a long layoff, and that's a lot to put on that team's shoulders to say, hey, Derrick, carry us to a win after this. So if he if the books do treat him as normal Derrick Henry, where they set his rushing total at, like, let's say – I'm going to guess it at 91. 1.5, I'll probably play the under.
Go ahead, Chris.
The other thing that I think is important here, too, is a home playoff game is a whole lot different than a road playoff game. So this will be, you know, the first time Burrow and Chase and company are going on the road. In the playoffs, Tennessee's not a fun place to play. So it can be pretty cold sometimes this time of year, and the fans are rabid. So I think there's going to be a big home field advantage here as well.
at this point, we've touched on all four of the NFL games. Obviously, you get two of those Saturday, two of those Sunday. You can do a multi-day parlay, which I hate doing, and it's why I, isn't my favorite, because he picks games that aren't on the Friday as part of the Wake and Rake. But it's that time of the show. We got to set up our weekend Wake and Rake. Cool Bet Chris, National Brand Manager at Cool Bet, do you have a line that stands out to you tonight or over the weekend to throw on the Wake and Rake?
Yeah, I actually was just, while you guys were chatting about that, I was only partially paying attention because I was dumping my entire betting account on the Florida Panthers in regulation tonight at -110. As part of the parlay, you could do it -175. But, so Vancouver, who, have had an up-and-down season, they have a plethora of guys on the COVID list here tonight. Mm-hmm. You got JT Miller, Thatcher Demko, Connor Garland, Bo Horvat, even their backup goalie, Yaro Halak. So this could be bad news. And I think, despite the score in Edmonton last night, so coaches I know love to have something to improve on from the game before. They didn't start well, and then they lost the previous game in Calgary. So there's still work to be done here for this Florida team. So I think, you'll see a better first period out of them, and the game could be over after the first period. So up to you on the parlay if you want to go money line at -175 or in regulation at -110. But I think this is I don't know who scores for Vancouver tonight. So, yeah, I'm big on this, which
nobody.
You know what probably that means.
I don't know who stops the puck either, because with both goalies in COVID protocols, you're looking at either Spencer Martin, who's kind of a 26-year-old AHL journeyman. Sure, he's having an okay season in small sample with Abbotsford, but this guy's bounced around the Orlando Solar Bears and half the teams in the AHL, and it's either him or Michael DiPietro, who has a sub-900 save percentage in the AHL this year. So take your pick. Vancouver has nobody to score, nobody to stop the puck. Panthers in regulation is Cool Bet Chris's pick. That was actually going to be mine as well. So glad we're on the same page there. No, that's okay. I've got backups. I'm equipped. I just maybe need to take a night off from the NCAA side of things. That's all. Ailish, what do you got for us for the Wake and Rake?
Yes, let's look down those lines. I said earlier that I think it was during our break, that I liked the look of Coyotes in just money line over the Islanders, but I'm not going to put that in the Wake and Rake. It's just a free little tidbit. The Coyotes have been real good to bet on, and the Islanders are not good, and they're coming on a back to back. And I don't know, just for the Simps, just throw $5 on that one. But yes, for the Simps, little tease for the Simps. But what I am going to put on the Wake and Rake is the Miami Heat. They're playing the Hawks, who are also not that great. They are road dogs, the Heat, and I like it. And I think that I saw a head nod from Blake, so that's usually a good sign. Maybe not. But yeah, I'm gonna go. The Heat are 15-5 in their last 20 games. I think that there's a lot of people on the injury list. If that's what you're going to tell me, I'm aware. I don't care that much, though.
Yeah, well, the injury list goes both ways. So the Hawks are without Bogdan Bogdanovich, and then Clint Capella, Gallo, Gorgie Dang are all questionable. The Heat have no Lowry or Tyler Hero, but they're expected to have Jimmy and Bam. Heat are 7-1 against the spread in their last eight, whereas the Hawks, who JD and I privately have been hammering against a lot, they're 2-5 in their last seven against the spread. The reason I was giving you a look there, Ailish, is just to clarify: Heat +1.5 or Heat money line?
Heat money line.
Yeah, +1.5.
For me, it's
I got to make sure.
Yeah,
I got to make sure before I put it in there.
You know the Heat are going to lose by 1 point now, though, right? We've just cursed.
Well, that remember?
No,
remember,
but I'm doing money line.
I know. Yeah,
money
I know. But,
the lesson yesterday.
Yeah, know, oh, yeah. Do you think they're going to lose? I don't want to hear it.
No, the lesson yesterday was I had picked Nets +2 on Wednesday, and a certain someone teased it to Nets -2.5, and then the Nets covered mine, but not the other. So, but 1.5, you're a little safer. JD, what do you got?
Okay, so this is one where I'm not going to renege on a bet. I'm going to just ask you guys, would you prefer that I make my bet for tonight and have the parlay just be a Friday parlay? Or, oh my God, Ailish, you're so greedy. You're the greediest person.
Well, I don't want to wait. Well, just do it tonight. That's like, the whole Wake and Rake.
Let's be honest. If you do a Saturday or Sunday game, people are going to exclude it from the parlay. People are going to, they showed us that with Cool Bet Chris last week. They're just going to do the parlay without the Saturday pick.
You know how I make my money for betting this weekend is how tonight goes. So put me on something for tonight so I can have money to bet for this weekend. Thank you.
Well, I will say that my best bet was Michelle Pereira, or Mikel Pereira is actually probably how you, is actually how you say his name, but winning by a finish in the UFC. I think that the UFC, they pick winners sometimes. Like, you have to be able to spot the spots where the UFC really wants to put somebody over, and this is actually one of those places where they want this guy to finish this guy, and they want to have it be an exciting win for them on this card, and that's why he's there. That's why he's the co-main. And so if he doesn't finish, I would be blown away. It would be a shocking result for me. And so a finish, I know it seems like not the best price at -108, which is what I saw that. This is a walk away, stamp it down, I'm putting the bankroll on it bet for the UFC this weekend. Blake, you have
someone? You know how you spot and we've talked about this a bunch, that the thing you want to ID is where the guy who doesn't look like he belongs on the card, right?
Yeah.
The third fight on a double title fight card, and Andre Fiallo has never fought in the UFC. I know it's a replacement, and this wasn't the plan, but it sure looks like the plans changed, and they were like, well, we could get Pereira a little knockout here. I don't like to bet against a Portuguese guy just because of the Cambridge roots there, but Andre Fiallo is there to go out on his back, right? Like, he's there to take the loss.
Yes, he
is. What are you going with instead for Friday
night? He's taking the loss, and he's going to be doing it. So I have to do something here. I like the Raptors tonight against the Wizards, so we'd be going essentially with two road dogs, right? Because Miami's on the road as well, if we're going with Ailish. But I kind of want to see what the rebound props come in at in this game, because this is something that I've been saying to you guys, but it's like the Raptors have they're only playing six players. Like, they're only playing six people. And so props on things have been actually really attractive to me, and some bets that I've been hitting with some regularity. What I think I realized in the last game was I'm not going to take either of the big men to get rebounds, because it's just like there's some volatility there with the rollover of who gets it. But looking at OG Anunoby and Scotty Barnes, both of those guys kind of come in at pretty low rebound numbers for what they're kind of averaging. So what I will definitely be playing tonight as a best bet is one of those two guys is going to come in at a rebound number that I really love. And if I see, what do you have it, Blake?
Yeah, OG's at 4.5, Scotty's at 6.5.
And there you go. OG Anunoby, 4.5 rebounds over. I love that. I think he'll get 5 rebounds tonight. But either way, I'll just stick with the Raptors because it's up on Coolbet right now. So I'll just take the Raptors money line. I'm not a Wizards believer. I think the Raptors match up like very well against that team. And Blake mentioned it. They have to have a strong weekend, and it starts with a win against Washington. And so I'll take the Raptors. After a couple of tough losses, they've lost 4 of their last 5. This seems like a good get-right spot. The Wizards are not a great team. Short line, I like the Raps. I trust the infrastructure, the coaching, the toughness. I'll take Toronto.
So I have a couple I could go with here. I know we're just about out of time. I'm really tempted to go Wisconsin again. I know you guys were laughing at me for doing that. I'm a little spooked after the streak ended on an NCAA game. I'm going to go for the second time this week on the Nets. I don't love us having 3 NBA road teams in the parlay here, but I can only make my best pick. And 2 of my picks have already gone off the board. So Nets -2.5. No Durant, but they're expected to have Kyrie and Harden. They're at
San
Antonio.
What was your other pick?
Raps? The Heat game. So Nets -2.5 at the Spurs. The Spurs haven't beaten a good team. With the exception of that one Boston game, the Spurs haven't beaten a good team in forever. Yeah. Kyrie and Harden are in this one. The Spurs have good guard play, but 2.5 seems a little light here. I'm going to kick myself if Wisconsin just steamrolls Michigan State at home. But
is this not a spot where we're betting the Jakob Poeltl double-double prop? Because this feels like a Jakob Poeltl day, and this feels like his rebounds will be through the roof against, you know, this Nets team the way that they're currently constructed.
Yeah, got to see the line where it comes in. Yeah. My concern with that would be foul trouble. I mean, we'll see. He's +155 for the double-double, which seems... Pretty good, given how much San Antonio's relied on him inside. And I believe Nick Claxton's either questionable or still out on the on the Nets side. Poeltl's averaging 12.5 points, 9 rebounds, but he is still a little foul prone. And that's when you have Harden and Kyrie, who are both good switch hunters. Maybe that's what gives you pause a little bit. There is the,
I'm still
the
betting that plus 155. Yeah. I'm taking Poeltl.
Yeah, I think so. So your wake and rake for tonight: Nets -2.5, Heat, Raptors, Panthers in regulation. That fourth one there being from Cool Bet Chris. Cool Bet Chris, national brand manager for Cool Bet. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning, man, and may the weekend be profitable for you.
Let's go. Everybody make some money, right? Let's get this done. All right. Yes,
absolutely. See you, pal.
Get it. All right. Yeah, there's definitely a bit of a red flag in our profile there with three NBA road teams, but what can you do?
We're dead.
I mean, what do you do, though? Do you be like, well, we Ailish and JD thought this about the Heat and Raptors game, so I can't think this about the Nets game? Like, you got to treat them as kind of independent events. There are a few NHL lines tonight that are nice as well. We got to take a break, though.
I do love – I got to say, I love Ailish's pick. And, like, Chris/Ailish, with the Florida Panthers is, like, that's – Blake, you had it, too. I had
took
zero
my top two
of
picks
that.
Off the board.
Yeah, I have zero of that on the radar. I'll be honest. I don't really like my pick with the Raptors because it was a panic pick where I went, okay, I really thought I was throwing Mikel Pereira in my parlay, but that's okay.
Here's the thing, JD. The listeners can bet both.
Yeah,
and then if you lose the Raptors, you know how you make that money back? Michel Pereira the next night. Andre Fiallo going out on his back. We're going to talk more UFC 270 and more Buffalo Bills with Ariel Helwani in about 20 minutes here. We're going to take a break first. And when we come back, we'll set up the Leafs weekend against the New York Islanders. Send us some texts too, 590-590. What are you most looking forward to this weekend? What are you looking for out of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Which NFL game are you most excited for and why? Will my mom trying to make those macaroni and cheese and Fruit Loop hot dogs turn out? All that. Yep. Let us know what you're thinking ahead of the weekend.